Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all those travelers out there orbiting Neptune. Good morning to the Oort cloud and to the debris of interstellar space. Good morning to the vomit that comes out of a white hole once a black hole has had too much to eat. Good morning to the gamma ray bursts. Good morning to the neutron stars. Good morning to the pulsars. Please don't fry us today. Good morning to the red giants. Good morning to the white dwarfs. Good morning to the protostars and cosmic gases, to the trace elements of creation. Can you believe it? That's what they tell you in the science book. Good morning to gravity, how you keep me tied to the ground, how you keep me planted on the earth, how we travel through space so quickly, but gravity holds it together. Good morning, gravity. It is December the 18th. December the 18th. 2024, Bob Limpdock, and it's right around 6 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. And it's Wednesday. And there aren't that many shopping days left till Christmas 2024. Only a few shopping days left. Less than a week, I think, or about a week. I don't give a fuck. Because it's not really Christmas, it's Saturnalia. Oh, Dan, now you sound like a Jehovah's Witness. No, it's a simple truth. I mean, I don't care if the Vatican has the wool pulled over your eyes. It doesn't have the wool pulled over my eyes. I can see straight through what Santa Claus always was. Here's the thing about the Gospels and the prophecies that foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was, you know, already here once. Nowhere in the Gospels or any of the prophecy related to Jesus are you going to find anything about Santa Claus. Nowhere are you going to find anything about Christmas trees or Christmas ornaments. Nowhere are you going to find anything particularly special about any particular day of the year that is equal to God. It's not to say that the Lord wasn't born on a certain day. And it's not to say that I think we're pretty certain the date of the crucifixion, based upon references in the gospel. But in some ways, those are the days that man decides. Not the days of the Lord, not the days of nature, but the artificial constructs, a lot like daylight savings time. I'm pretty certain that if, you know, the Lord in heaven being a genius, if he thought that daylight savings time was an intrinsic feature of the universe, I don't know. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think the sun would have behaved according to daylight savings time, but it didn't. It never did. Seasons change. The reason why we don't change the clock is because seasons change. We can sense it. We can feel it. Here are your funky Zero Hedge headlines, and believe you me, it's going to sound like some kind of crap. NATO state warns, this is a bloodbath for Laura Logan. Renter returns, crypto bulls on pace, cut, final countdown, Slovakia warns, full jet. Constitutional, anti-woke, China is secretly, five falsehoods, broadly, you're done, Red Sea, Germany, North Korean troops on Syria border, Indian model, China, Democrats, Fed cut. Final countdown. Laura Logan on pace for a discussion. Information, peace through yapping. Renter returns to multifamily Logan. Yeah, that's your fucking news. Damn, that made no fucking sense. I am going to postulate that if I read the actual fucking headlines, they would make less sense. But that's just my belief. So a lot of people like to say you left the silent part out. And let's talk about what that is, because as Sovietologists, it's a useful concept. In fact, you could say, in the world of Sovietology, the silent part, the part that is not obvious, the part that is sometimes hidden, the part that is obviously ignored and through that leaves a mark, that's the interesting part. That's what we're looking for. It's not always the truth, but sometimes it's a way of getting there. So when you're looking for the silent part, when you're thinking about a headline, okay, and I don't care what headline it is. It could be about Laura Logan. It could be about Papa Blump. It could be about how Biden has no brain. It could be about the Ukraine. I couldn't give a fuck, shithead. These are the things you should be thinking about, the questions you should be asking every fucking time you read a newspaper article or a magazine article or watch something on fucking YouTube or TV. About the news, you know, the news, what's going on. And I don't care. It could be New Jersey drones. The drones are here to send out alien messages. The drones are here to sniff for plutonium. The drones are here to make sure a law gets passed or something gets renewed, as if that fucking matters, Mega Man January 6th tard. No. You know, yeah, I'm a 1 January. I know. You're a 1/6 tard. I know who you are, cartoon soldier. But here are the questions you should be fucking asking. The first question you should ask every time you read something in the news these days, even if it's the alternative news, is what is implied? If you read the article, ask yourself what the implications are. There should be implications. If there are no implications, at least nothing of worthy note, then chances are you're reading about an apple pie recipe. The next question you should ask is what is required for the thing you're reading about to be true? For example, the war in the Ukraine. For it to be true, what must also probably be true? During the Cold War, when they war-gamed NATO versus Warsaw Pact, and again, no one had any illusions. NATO versus Warsaw Pact was, you know, in reality, NATO versus Russia. They understood that. If you understood the force structure, if you understood the task organization, don't be a dumb fuck. Yeah, the East Germans had a few good units here and there. But the reality is, during the Cold War, if you're talking the Soviet Union, they pretty much meant Russia. And in the 1980s, when they war-gamed it for what they believed to be, you know, World War III, for the future, for the present, for the past, but what they believed to be World War III, one of the conclusions they came to after war-gaming several times during the Cold War, but especially during the 80s, is that, you know, they called it the come-as-you-are war, which means that the conventional part lasts about 90 days. Maybe. It doesn't probably last a whole year. And at some point, you find yourself asking, when do I start using nukes? The war in the Ukraine has been going on almost 3 fucking years. In fact, pretty soon, it's going to catch up with World War I and World War II. And fuck, if we're, you know, all kinds of other wars that probably shouldn't have lasted this long, but are lasting. The other day, or yesterday, or whatever, some crooked CIA punk took out a Russian general. If any of this was fucking real, Putin, well, should already be dead and replaced by the next guy. And believe me, the next guy, he's going to make Putin look like a pussycat shithead. If any of this was real, we should already be tossing nukes around. So the question you also have to ask yourself is not just what is implied, But what is required for this to be true? And the problem is, there are features of the Ukraine war that simply don't add up. It's a lot like Gaza. Of course, if they've dropped nearly 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile on Gaza in less, you know, in about a year, of course that's, you know, evil. But it's also just cataclysmically stupid. I mean, I guess that's one way to reduce something to rubble so you can build on it. You can build hotels, whatever. But it's still so stupid. The reality is the Israeli slow roll ethnic cleansing, which is what they've been doing the whole time, was working. And in another 10 or 20 or 30 years, they would have had Gaza. And they would have needed no bombs, whatever. But they're super geniuses, I guess. Another question you need to ask yourself when you're looking at the news is, why are they telling you this? Why are they telling us this? Why is this message not being suppressed? You know, a lot of people will talk to me about, oh, Dan, did you hear about Joe Rogan and how he's suppressed? And I say, listen, buddy, it sounds like you're reading me a headline about Mark Zuckerberg's top secret bunker in Hawaii. And I can't use the R word, but stop. Listen, you will hear a message of suppression. You will. That Joe Rogan is suppressed, that Alex Jones is suppressed, Donald Trump is suppressed. Yeah. And yeah, Mark Zuckerberg has a top secret bunker in Hawaii. But what if these things are not true? The real question you should be asking is, why are they telling us this? Why are they telling us that Alex Jones is being attacked? Why is there even a court case against him? Why did InfoWars get, you know, taken away and put up for auction? People know this. It's being put into the news for a reason. I've been monitoring the funnel. You know, Anna Merlan has a funnel as a writer. It may not be like, I don't know, McDonald's, but it's still a funnel. So if 100,000 people read an article she's written, maybe 100,000, maybe 10,000, you would expect at least a few hundred people to pass through a link to my website. I've been monitoring this, and that never happened. And I don't really give a fuck. I probably suck. But the point is, the funnel for simple click-through should have gone up a lot. Instead, it went down. That's weird, isn't it? Why are they letting you see this message? Because I can tell you there are lots of messages they don't want you to fucking hear. Even if they're poor quality recordings of a shortwave broadcast, YouTube will flag it. YouTube will delete it. Another question you need to ask is, how does this bullshit story connect to other bullshit stories? Because often, it's a pastiche, it's a scrapbook, it's some sort of klimt with many artistic styles and patchwork. But the point is, even if it is garbage, even if the article itself is 100% bullshit, does it connect to something else? How wide is the audience? And this isn't about suppression. This is more about footprint. How big is the audience? Is this a piece of internet legend that if you ask somebody IRL, they would look at you and say, what the fuck? I've come across a lot of that shit in my personal life in the last 10 years. That's why I check a lot of things with people I know now. I check a lot of things with people I can verify are real, because sometimes digital information is directed at people that nobody else sees. And if you don't break out of that bubble, you might find yourself, you know, basically being manipulated down some pretty dark roads. That happened to me. I can't tell you why it happened. I can't tell you who pays for it. But that happened to me. So how wide is the audience? Is it a news article or a piece of information? So let's widen the description here, because the news itself is rather ambiguous at this point. Is this information that you can only find on the web? Is this information that very few people have seen on the web? Is this information that's on the radio, on digital TV? Is this information that people are really talking about? How wide is the audience? Have you seen the story before? I can tell you, and I told you before, and please understand, there are a lot of bad penny trauma monkeys. And as a reminder, a trauma monkey is bigger than propaganda, but a lot smaller than a full-on, you know, military psychological warfare operation. It's like a little tiny psyop, but not much of one. There have been a lot of bad penny trauma monkeys in the last decade. One of my favorites is the Chinese murder hornet. I first spotted that trauma monkey 10 years ago, you know, right after my or right around the time of my divorce, you know. Fucking Chinese murder hornet probably is the reason why we got divorced, fuck. Fucking murder hornet coming from Ching Chong, China. Murder hornet the size of your thumb. An adult thumb, right? Oh, damn, that's not math. Oh, and the flamingos from NASA are... Yeah, have you seen the story before? Have you seen the Chinese murder hornet? Have you seen stories like the drone story? I know the New Jersey drone story seems original, but you may have heard of this. It was called, I think, I don't know, Orson Or, you know. Oh. Orson Welles, The War of the Worlds, 1938. Believe it or not, folks, this type of trauma monkey has been used by people in power going back to the beginning of time. Sometimes it's drones. Sometimes it's the Vandals. Oh, believe me, first century Rome, it was the fucking Christians. And if you were a friend of a Christian, it didn't... Oh, you're probably a Christian too. If you were a midwife, if you were a dangerous woman, meaning you had your own opinions, and you lived in the New World, maybe it's the late 17th, the 1690s. And because you're a midwife and you have your own opinions, you're probably a witch. Have you seen this story before? There's a commie. Over there, there's a commie. Give me more taxpayer money so I can find some more commies. Oh, let's spend taxpayer money on a helicopter so we can be so un-commie, dropping commies from the sky so they can die. Okay, Pinochet, it's so un-commie of you. Yeah, folks, these are not new stories. A lot of them are quite old. The Chinese murder hornet story is fun, but a lot of these stories are not very fun. Have you seen the story before? Is it a bad penny? And believe me, one of the worst pennies of all time is blaming the poors for why the city burns. And it's not always Rome. It predates Rome. Yeah, Rome is a shitty, not holy place, but Rome is not the whole story. It is the oldest bad penny. If your town, if your village, if your city burns, it's not the king, it's not the wacky general, it's not the shithead shaman who's been grifting people. No, 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 it's the poor people. The world is on fire. You can't have cheeseburgers. We'll eat steak in our jet paradise. The world is on fire. It's global squirming. Oh my God, look at the pores. They're driving SUVs and eating cheeseburgers. Yeah. And believe me, they'll start with the homeless. If this stupid game lasts much longer, and who knows, right? But if this dumbass neo-Stalinist hellhole continues much longer, they'll start with the homeless. They've already set you up. The homeless are 100% ready for the good enough COVID people, and I saw them, to be put someplace nice, kind of like that one dude told me about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation during 2020, like that homeless guy, like that guy. Yeah, they'll be sent someplace nice, quote-unquote. You won't know where, you really won't know what's happening. You'll get a targeted message, believe me, and probably even an AI-manufactured video showing how happy your neighbor is. Oh, you know how Bob and and Jess lost their home, their job, and their home. And we saw them homeless. But you know what? They got on the train, and now they're in New Spain. And in New Spain, we just saw a video, and they're swimming, and they're running. And John, I almost want to be homeless myself. But you really don't, because even the shitheads, even the giant dumb fucks of Seattle, who will fucking flip their homes until all their neighbors are turned to dust, even they have that spooky reptilian instinct that you don't get on the fucking train. Isn't it weird that once upon a time a bunch of people did, though, didn't they? The smartest people in the room, the necessary aircraft carrier, the one we can't live without, all landlocked in the Middle East. Yeah, they got on the fucking train, right? Oh, Dan, but they couldn't do nothing. Just like 2020 and George Floyd. Just like those good neighbors who took a snuff lick video for almost 10 minutes. They couldn't do nothing. Just like Donald Blump, right? He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't do nothing. Have you seen the story before? Can you confirm that this story has been seen by others? And this relates back to the questions of suppression and audience, but have you gone through the effort of talking to anybody in the real world about the story? Can you confirm that the event took place? Do you have a friend there? I know when I was reading the wackadoo stories out of Australia in 2020 and 2021, there were at least two or three people I checked with because none of them made any sense. And the only conclusion I could come to is that there was a pretty good chance that the strategic military psychological warfare we've been going through since early 2020 is mostly directed at the United States. It's entirely plausible. The versions of reality I've gotten from people I trust outside the country do not match with the make-believe people I talk to from the fucking internet. Oh, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, Faker. Yeah, I was told Mexico's wonderful. Brazil is wonderful. Every place is wonderful. But it's not a voice I can trust, though. That's it, folks. When it comes to Sovietology, what you're looking for are the things that are not there. You're not reading a paper that was published by the Moscow Institute of Military Studies for its transparency and its obvious integrity as an article. What you're looking for are the things that it leaves out, for the things that are implied, for the things that are connected. And at the end of the day, you might not find much of anything. It's one of the reasons why, if I do read the news from Zero Hedge, I'm going to read it exactly the way I did, because that's about how meaningful it's supposed to be. There's a set of buttons in your brain. The system is trying to push those buttons every day now. A lot of people are dancing when the buttons are pushed. The whole point of Sovietology is looking for the silent part. Next topic. Okay, here's some stuff related to this. So there were a couple of, I guess you could say headlines, but chunks of information on the front page of Zero Hedge this morning. One was sponsored by Polymarket. You know how they predicted Trump would win? And it basically reads, Trump : peace through yapping. Peace through yapping. Can Trump end two wars before Inauguration Day? And then the other headline, which is not sponsored, which means it's a Zero Hedge curated headline. Headline, Red Sea oil flows surge as Trump's strongman image signals de-escalation in maritime checkpoint crisis. The Houthis may have wound down their Red Sea disruptions for now, but let's see how long it takes. Okay, Mossad. Yeah. Wow. Remember what you said, Puddleflower, during the COVID? Papa Blump can't do nothing against Fauci. Papa Blump didn't have nothing to do with no lockdown. Papa Blump can't do nothing. You remember what you said, Puddleflower? Now look at these, now rethink these headline statements here about how Trump simply existing, having won the race, is causing peace. Because that's the message of the combined headlines here. It's Trump's existence, having won the election, equals peace. Brothers and sisters, if you had a setup for something that would fit with what Christ talked about the age of lies and about the pinnacle of the age of lies prior to the end times, boy, this would be it, wouldn't it? Do you think Trump is God? Do you think Trump is the Son of God? Do you think Trump is the Messiah? Do you think that there is anything holy about Trump at all? If you do, we are not the same. I personally don't think he runs shit. But as a fake front, you know, as a Potemkin shithead, it is telling. It is telling that at this point in the game, they need to toss Trump at you again. He is also a bad penny. Oh, but this time he promises to keep his promises. I know he does. And he's going to break that promise, Petal Flower. And then you'll tell me, assuming the game has that much time left on the board, you'll tell me, assuming we're going to go on that much longer, you'll tell me, Petal Flower, that he couldn't do nothing. I don't think we have that many more cycles, Petal Flower, of Lucy pulling away the football, but we'll see, okay? We'll see. No, Trump, Rome is not a holy place, and Trump is not a holy man in any functional sense. Next topic. So I saw an interesting headline on Zero Hedge yesterday. The U.S. is left out in the cold as China and Russia develop Arctic. Rand Corporation argues that the U.S. should employ a divide and rule strategy in the Arctic by exploiting the differing interests and historical tensions between Russia and China. I know, just like Kissinger did during the Vietnam War, I get that. But this is another silent part story. During the first Trump administration, and I think it was 2018, the Trump administration issued a couple interesting statements. One statement was, there's never been more Arctic ice. Never in the history of the world. And this would imply the ice ages too, so that's how tarded this is. There's never been more Arctic ice. There's never been more Arctic ice. Never. And the other white paper that came out of the Trump administration was, the Arctic is open for business. It's navigable, you can move ships around. Huh, wow, that's a thing. Now, brothers and sisters, you have a couple choices here. And we covered this, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, because that's when we first talked about it. You have a couple choices. Choice one is, you can toss both articles out. They contradict each other. And these days, that's the best choice. The other thing is that you can ask yourself which is more likely. Because the Arctic open for business seems closer to the truth than the there's never been more Arctic ice. That seems outrageously stupid on the surface, right? Dan, that's a weird, yeah, I know, if you know, you know, on the surface. Folks, I don't know what the fuck's going on in the Arctic right now. Neither do you if you're a real person. If you're an ordinary person, you don't either. In fact, it's weird. I would say there are two places right now that ordinary people, okay, I don't mean, I saw it on HD. I know, Petal Flower, what you watched on TV. I'm talking about personal experience, things you can verify. There are two places I can think of right now in the world, at least two places where it's difficult, if not impossible, to verify stories because I've tried. One is Antarctica. Now, yeah, you can get all kinds of fucking news release bullshit and you can see, you know, the McDonald's video of some dude skiing down a mountain. But actual solid information you can verify, I can't do it. The other place, and this has been true since late 2019, is the Arctic. And the COVID worked. I mean, the COVID worked for about a year and a half. But what really has worked is the Ukraine war. Because with the Ukraine war, between the Ukraine war situation and the simple fact that Canada and the United States control more or less the Western Arctic, right? But the bottom line is, with the Ukraine war, about 60% of the Arctic Circle, and specifically the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf, are kind of off limits. No good information. So it's weird. I can't tell you what it fucking means, but I can tell you that if you have a choice between there's never been more Arctic ice or the Arctic is open for business, well, it sounds like the Rand Corporation, which, funny, Zero Hedge quotes them. It sounds like the RAND Corporation is saying the Arctic is open for business. Anyways, next fucking topic. No, Dan. No. No, no, no. No. That's it. That's all the news fit to print. So, I don't know what to say. I've kind of made the decision to just keep podcasting, period. But if you've noticed, I am trying to veer away from taking the news in any other form, but ironically. My goal right now is to finish the writing project I'm working on, which is the first book of Bigfoot War One. And my goal is to get at least 3 chapters done by this weekend so I can read the first 3 chapters maybe next week, maybe sooner. I have 2 chapters completed and I've thought about reading them, and maybe I do. Maybe I read them in sets of 2. That actually makes a lot of sense. So sometime this week, hopefully before Sunday, I'll read the first 2 chapters, and hopefully by February the 1st, I'll have the draft of the book done. That's my goal. Is it doable? Well, sure it is. Will I do it? That's an open question, brothers and sisters. You know, I've finished things and I've left things unfinished, just like every other person in the history of the world. And I need to finish this, but everything in me tells me that it just doesn't matter. It's not to say that it's the end of the world, it isn't. I don't think it is. Even if we were in the end times, that's not technically the end of the world. It's just a massive, radical change. But whether we're just on the verge of a century of chaos, like the 14th century, or whether we're on the verge of the end times, or whether we're on the verge of something far worse and not connected to either of the things mentioned, I still don't think it's the end of the world. It's just that we keep circling back to that theme, right, my friends, about how if you were born after 1945 and you experienced America 1945 until now, a lot of things might seem like the end of the world that aren't. The fact that there aren't as many 24-hour diners as there used to be, and the ones that still exist smell of bleach and vomit. That's not the end of the world, though, is it? The fact that electricity may become spotty. In fact, there's a pretty good chance that the map of electrification in this country could be very close to the map that existed 100 years ago in a very few number of years. Dan, that sounds insane, I know. And that's if we're lucky. It could be a lot worse, brothers and sisters, but the reality is we don't know. All I know is I'll keep plugging along, and if I'm wrong, if in April or May of next year everything is just as pathetically normal as right now in that mediocre sense of it's not really normal, but it is fucked up and we're enduring, okay. But I believe something bigger is afoot. Something much bigger. And the problem with these types of events is that they're so big, it's easy to sort of misinterpret or even to say, well, you know, how can I put this? Because you didn't predict it exactly, you didn't know it was coming. It's more like, I don't think you can pick a date for something like this, but I do think it is coming. And it's massive. And it's at least total economic collapse. It's at least the collapse of the dollar, but I fear it's worse. So I don't know. Trying to finish a book thinking that maybe it will be good enough and maybe it won't be suppressed and maybe there's a chance you could actually end up making money off of it. Because I've seen the dreck that companies like Amazon and Netflix buy, and it's really stupid dreck. So yeah, there's a chance, but that's a world where you have to believe that things like that happen. And I just don't. So the funny thing about the podcasting and the writing, and even if I start doing some work on the radio stuff again, is that it is a Sisyphean thing. It is an action, in my opinion, of a kind of pointlessness. It's not to say that I'm going to be obsessed with anything at this point, to the point of taking away joy. And I think that's the key point. The reason why I write, even if I suck, the reason why I podcast, I'm certain I suck, And the reason why I use this stupid keyboard, even though absolutely metaphysically I suck, is because it brings me joy. That's it. That is it. If you want me to tell you that somehow I think I'm going to make $1 billion doing any of the above, no. And it doesn't matter if it's because I suck or I don't suck. That's also fucking irrelevant. What I think people should do with their lives is not so much focus on the end of things or the end of their life or death. What they should do while they're here are the things that make them happy. Lots of people will talk to you about death. Believe me, 2020 in Seattle, every motherfucker had a theory about death. Every motherfucker had a curse of death. Every asshole would look at their neighbor with death. Lots of people will talk to you about death. How about we talk about life? And not a perfect life, believe me. Our good friend Beans died the other day. Life ain't always perfect, but it's still beautiful. It's still the point. The point is not to die, or how you die, or how you can kill or murder people. The point is to live, and how you can live with people. But that takes effort, and that takes liberty, which brings along with it fear, but at least it's the fear you can handle, buddy. It's the fear that is a product of your mind and nature. It is not the fear that they dump on you like a fucking fire hose. It is Wednesday, December the 18th, 2024, Bob Limpdock. It's almost 6:30 a.m., if you can believe it, Scrumbo. I hope you have a great rest of your day.